Our theme verse during the season of Lent is Isaiah 53, verse 5, which says, "He was pierced for our transgressions." That word pierced is a very graphic and disturbing word. And we're dealing with various themes each week inspired by that one word. And who do you think chose those themes? Well, you're looking at him. I have no one to blame but myself because I do not like today's theme, which is a pierced tongue. You know, I cannot imagine anyone wanting to get their tongue pierced. I was reading about it and I discovered that the practice of piercing the tongue started in the 14th century by the Mayans, who would pierce the tongue of the worshipers and put a piece of jewelry in the hole and then take the blood that resulted and sacrifice the blood to their gods. Ew. Now jump to the 20th century, and tongue piercing was introduced in the United States of America in sideshows. People would come and have their tongue pierced and have jewelry put into the place of the tongue, and people paid to see that. Ooh. Doctors have documented that a number of complications can result from piercing the tongue. The tongue can swell to double its size. Imagine that, for about 2 days. That must be fun. And infections can result, and the kinds of infections that can result from piercing your tongue can affect your brain and your heart. Enough of that. I don't like it. And I suspect you don't like it either. So why did I choose this theme? I chose it because of what the Bible has to say about both the negative and the positive aspects of our tongues. I suspect you've heard this before. James 3, verse 8. "No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." Did you all know that was in the Bible? For those of you who did not, I will read it again. "No person can tame the tongue. No man or woman can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." That is one of the Bible biggies having to do with the tongue. And yes, we're going to review it. And I think that we kind of have an obligation to review that scripture. And what James is saying is that we can pierce the heart of God with our tongues. As one person said, it is the one muscle in the body. It is the one muscle in the body that gets the most workout and yet the least control of any other muscle. This is Proverbs 12:18. "Reckless words pierce like a sword." That's the first half of the verse. But now listen to the second half of the verse. "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." Aha, it's not all negative. There's going to be some positive in here. This is not going to be a one-sided, negative, demoralizing sermon about the tongue. There is some good news even in that one verse, and a lot more new good news in other passages, but not yet. The tongue can be a poison. God said that through James. I do not like having to deal with that. Now, let me restate that. I hate having to deal with that in me. As I was preparing this message, I thought back over my life about the number of times that I have pierced people with my tongue. How many times I've pierced God's heart. One of the ways that I have done that is to chew on gossip. It tasted good while I was chewing it, but the aftertaste was not so good. Are you familiar with that? I recalled a story that I read a long time ago about three preachers, and they went fishing. They were in a boat on a lake, and they decided that it would be good to share with one another their besetting sin. And the first preacher said, "My sin is gambling." And the second preacher said, "My sin is drinking." And the third preacher said, "My sin is gossip. And I can't wait to get to the shore." Okay, that got a chuckle, didn't it? But it's deadly serious. Gossip can destroy. Gossip can destroy a business, a family, an individual, a church, and far more. Here's another quote from the book of Proverbs that I need to hear. This is Proverbs 26:20. "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies." If you need to join me in feeling convicted, feel free. Here's another one, Psalm 5. David is talking about his enemies in this psalm. And in verse 9, he said, "Their throat is an open grave, and with their tongues they speak deceit." Deceit. What is deceit? It's not just lying. Deceit is getting someone else to believe something that is true when it is not true. That's deceit. Look at me. Look at me. I'm standing behind a pulpit. I'm standing in front of a cross. I'm ordained. And I would like for you to think that I am spiritually superior to the average Joe, but that would be a deception. I am not superior. I am not holier than thou. And if I were ever to believe that I am deceiving myself. And I would be piercing the heart of God. God said in Psalm 101, verse 7, "No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house." Whoa. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. If you need to join me in feeling convicted. Oh, the Bible goes on. And yet, here's another one, flattery. Paul wrote a condemning comment about this in Romans 16, verse 18. He said, "By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." And then he added this, "Stay away from such people." No, Paul was not talking just about politicians. He was talking about all of us. This is Psalm 12. 3-4, "May the Lord cut off flattering lips." May the Lord cut off flattering lips. Look, if you give me a compliment and mean it, I'll like it. It'll feel good. It will bless my ego. If you give me a compliment and you do not mean it, then you will be guilty of deception through false flattery. Have I ever done that myself? As I said, I hate this theme. Scientists say that once a word is uttered, it creates a never-ending sound wave set into motion that never, ever stops. They claim that if we had instruments sophisticated enough, we could capture and we could reproduce any sound that's ever been made in history. Can you imagine a time when every word you have ever uttered could be retrieved and everyone could hear it? How frightening is that? In the Smithsonian Institution, there is a display that resembles two cups joined by a string. The first telephones, dating from the 7th century. That's the year 600s. Who would have thought that in the 19th century they would produce the first electronic telephones in the world? And who would have thought that now we carry in our pockets an instrument with which we can talk to people on the other side of the globe instantly? Well, couple all that with these words of Jesus. He said in Matthew 12, verse 36, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have ever spoken. Whoa. Oh, my goodness. It almost sounds like Jesus is saying the scientists were correct. And the day will come. Maybe that's what inspired David to write Psalm 39:1. He said, I will put a muzzle on my mouth. There you go. I will put a muzzle on my mouth. I read a clever acrostic. It says, we need to think before we speak. Think. T-H-I-N-K. The T stands for speak the truth in love. The H stands for is it helpful? The I is for inspiring. The N is for is it necessary? And the K stands for kind. Speak truth that is helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind. That's a good acrostic, isn't it? I need to put it on my bathroom mirror as I brush my teeth each morning. Think before I speak. I need that. I could go on and on this way because you know what? There are over 100 verses in the Bible that talk about how we sin with our tongues. And in every case, we add to the pain of the piercing of Jesus Christ, who allowed that to happen to him on Golgotha. I don't want to do that. Do you? Of course not. You don't want to do that. Then why do we do it? Jesus gave the answer, and we read this in Matthew 15, verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And Peter, who was standing nearby, said to Jesus, Lord, what does that mean? And then Jesus interpreted it. He said, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make a man unclean, for out of the heart, he said, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, listen, false testimony, slander. These are what makes a man unclean. Just in case you need to know this, he didn't mean males. He meant mankind. And he was referring to all of us when he said that. In other words, our tongues are connected to our hearts. That's why it happens, because our hearts are corrupt. And it doesn't get any easier for me. In that classic verse in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Did I say I hate this theme? I meant to say that. I need some encouragement in all this. We cannot tame our tongues, but we can use them for positive things as well. It's with our tongues connected to our hearts that we praise God. Oh, I like that. You're contagious, you know that. I love it. The first half of James 3:9 says it well. With the tongue we praise the Lord, our Father. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Then listen carefully to the next part. The fruit of lips that confess his name. I want to be guilty of that, don't you? I want to do that. There is power in praise. There's power in praise. Why is that? Because praise changes you. Praising God changes you for the better. It refocuses your mind. It refocuses your heart. It refocuses your attitude. It refocuses your emotions on what should be your priority. Praise restores your soul. And don't you try to tell me your soul doesn't need to be restored. It does. When you praise God, you are more open to the Holy Spirit. Talk about power. There is no greater power than the Holy Spirit. No, you cannot tame your tongue, but you can exercise it for His glory. And if you need some help with that, just go home and read Psalm 148, 149, and 150. If you're taking notes, I'll say it again. Psalms 148, 149, and 150. And you know what? Do it out loud. You would be amazed at what happens when you do that. You can use your tongue to praise. You can also use your tongue to pray. The Bible tells us to pray for so many things. Pray for wisdom. God said, pray for wisdom. Pray for help for people who are in need of help. The Bible says, pray for healing. Pray for healing. And it says in prayer, present your requests to God. It says a lot more about that. Now, for me, how many times do I need to hear that? Pray, Harry. Pray, Harry. Instead of just gabbing to your friends, Harry, about your problems and the world's problems, talk to God about it, because your friends aren't going to be able to fix your problems. And your friends are not going to be able to fix the world. Only God can do that. He is God. I am not. You are not. He's the one to whom we need to talk. Those are the first two I thought of. Praise and prayer. And they both require you to be proactive. My car will not take me to the grocery store unless I get into it, start it, and drive it there. I need to be proactive. Talking about prayer, reading about prayer, thinking about prayer, listening to me talk about prayer won't help. You have to be proactive. So, after you've read Psalm 148, 149, and 150, pray. And praise. Oh, here's another one that I especially love. Sing! James 5:13, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. The word sing appears in God's word over 100 times. And 40 of those times, it is a command of God. Sing! And somebody can come up to me and say, I can't sing. Well, you know what? You can hum. You don't have to use your tongue to sing. You can hum from your heart, and God can hear you and be blessed by it. Sing! But your God-given tongue can articulate what is in your heart, and that pleases God even more. Of course, if your tongue is pierced, it might not be quite as articulate as it could be. So keep that in mind. One more, just one more. And this one is probably the most neglected one in the list. Use your tongue to tell others about Jesus. Witness for Jesus. As it says in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is that clear? Huh? Say so. That's what it says in the Bible. That's an Old Testament directive. Here is a New Testament directive. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. No, we cannot control the tongues, but we can turn over control of our tongues to God's Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in control, you will receive power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know what? Many people in here, many of us, have absolutely no problem telling other people about our favorite TV show and some of our favorite movies. And some of our favorite restaurants. And some of our favorite sports teams. But ask them to speak about Jesus, and they're struck dumb. Their tongue is pierced and it swells to twice its size in their mouth, and they can't even speak. Afraid to talk about Jesus. And Jesus says, after all I've done for you, after all I have given for you, as much as I love you, and you can't even tell one person about me. I was talking to somebody out in the hallway this morning, and I actually asked this person, I said, did you tell anybody about Jesus? I liked the answer. The answer was not no, but the answer was, it's hard because some people don't want to hear about Jesus, and there's walls and so. Absolutely. It's not easy. That's why we're afraid of it, I think. We're afraid that we'll be rejected, and even more that he will be rejected. But you know what? If you don't witness for Jesus Christ, you're piercing him. He said, I've done it all for you. What have you done for me? Praise God. Pray to him. Sing to him. And witness for him. Heavenly Father, you have heard our prayer. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.